Well, happy Monday to you and welcome back to the Drivecast. My name is Dean Fulks. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And as we continued this past weekend in our Always and Everywhere series, we were looking at the reality. We've talked about it every week that we make our lives count as we make his name known. So we've been in the book of Acts really looking at how the early church really began to move. And so this week we went all the way back to Acts chapter 1 just to kind of get a framework. The Great Commission verse that says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We really talked about how through what we've traced, beginning with Stephen a couple of weeks ago, how the early church began to experience persecution. And when they did, that really caused a lot of believers to move out of the city of Jerusalem into Samaria, other places. And eventually, the passage that we just talked about in Acts chapter 8, to the ends of the earth. And, you know, Acts 8 is really the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And it was because of this persecution, as the disciples began to move out, you know, there are people in our world that experience persecution on a regular basis. The things that we have here, sometimes we just take them for granted. We kind of have a sense of spiritual entitlement, but God moves Philip out of this spiritual awakening, this revival movement that was going on in Samaria, and he takes him down to a desert place. And so we really started with this idea that a connected life is what leads to the sense of divine awareness, that our yes is always on the table. So even if it doesn't make sense to us, when God says go, we go. And, you know, the reality is Philip, we have the same access to God that Philip had, right? I mean, he didn't have some first century pager that, you know, he could read messages on that God just spoke to him directly, but rather he had this sense. I'm sure he knew the Old Testament well, in Malachi 1:5, that the Lord would be magnified beyond the borders of Israel. So he encounters this eunuch from Ethiopia, who was a leader in the court of Candace, who was a queen in Cush. There were actually 8 consecutive female leaders in Cush, which is modern day Ethiopia, who were named Candace. Candace was a title. So we looked at a hieroglyph of her. So real person, historical evidence of her. And so Philip has this divine awareness that God is speaking to him. And so divine awareness then leads us to some unique gospel opportunities. Philip's on this road. All of a sudden, this Ethiopian eunuch comes by him and he's reading the scroll of Isaiah, which meant some things about him. Number one, it meant that he could read. It meant that he was probably not only one of the few people in their culture who could be educated, but it also meant that he was probably pretty wealthy. He owned an Isaiah scroll. So he has this understanding of the Old Testament temple and worship. So he's probably come to Jerusalem to worship. But the unique thing that we discussed is that he would most likely would have been rejected. He wouldn't have gotten past the court of the Gentiles. So if you can imagine him making that long journey, getting to Jerusalem, getting rejected from going into the temple. I mean, that's why he went, and kind of leaving there frustrated because he came in hope. Now, why did he do that? Well, we kind of talked our way through the reality of what that scroll of Isaiah would have said to him. Passages like Isaiah 56:37, which says, "Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' And let not the eunuch," imagine how personally he would have taken that, "let not the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' As to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, the Lord says, who choose things that please me, hold fast to my covenant, I will give him a house, I'm within walls, a monument, a name that is better than sons and daughters." So if you can imagine, whether he was voluntarily made a eunuch or involuntarily, whether that was chosen for him, this scroll of Isaiah promises him, you've got something better than sons and daughters in Israel. So he went to the temple to worship this God in faith, this long journey from Ethiopia, and he gets rejected. So he's on his way home, and God puts Philip on this desert road. Philip sees him reading Isaiah, has this sense that that's exactly why this divine awareness takes this unique gospel opportunity. And he says to him, "Do you understand what you read?" And in frustration, it seemed, you know, I would think the eunuch says to him, "How can I understand? How can I figure this out unless someone helps me?" And basically Philip's message is, well, God has sent me to help you. And the scriptures so beautifully say that beginning there, that Philip begins to explain the good news to him. imagine in my mind what happened was Philip said, hey, turn back three chapters in that scroll of Isaiah to Isaiah 53. And he preaches Christ to him, shares Christ with him in such a beautiful way because he had a connected life. So the question really becomes, is that you? Do you have a connected life? And if you do, then your life will be connected to mission. If you have a connected life, your life will be connected to mission. And we just talked about on Sunday, the ways, you know, we're going to send our first couple of folks over to to Poland to minister to Ukrainian refugees. We're connected to the For All Mankind movement in India, and we have been blessed to come alongside them to help plant 1,400 churches. And so the reality for us becomes such a beautiful, beautiful thing that we have the opportunity to take the gospel, the good news, to the ends of the earth. So I'm going to pray that connected life for us, and I hope that you'll pray it into your day as well. God, we are thankful that you've included us in your mission to reach the nations. That God, we would not be self-focused, but others-focused, not even just here locally, but globally. God, certainly that includes the people that you're bringing to our city from around the world. But God, I pray that you will give us a passion to love the nations as much as you do. Lord, may it be a reality today that we would pay attention to missional opportunities that you give us. And when you give them to us, God, that we'll pray our way into them and share our way through them. It's in your name we pray. Now you take the opportunity to pray.